Perfect. Very good. All right. We'll call the meeting to order. The roll's been taken and duly noted. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We have adopted a more generalized agenda so that we can pretty much throw the discussion open to any number of subjects which may arise under the broad parameters of the jurisdiction of the board. So that is basically how we're going to proceed. I had some conversations with Sandra previously, and I thought maybe she can lead off with perhaps a discussion of the bus security issue, which has become a hot topic. In fact, it was a hot topic in this room 2 days ago. Sitting exactly where you were was Chief Flynn, and exactly where you were was Sheriff Clark, talking about what they are or aren't going to do with regard to bus security. So maybe you could, I know it's an impact on downtown. There's some hot spots at Water in Wisconsin. In fact, Chief Flynn mentioned that particular intersection is one of their trouble spots of the half a dozen or so troubled intersections that they have to deal with, particularly school age kids, mostly high school kids. So since there is a downtown impact and of course a citywide impact, I thought maybe you could embellish us a little bit on.
Sure, I guess what I can speak to is obviously, yes, if we're all paying attention to the news lately, we are hearing about just various issues coming up with security on our buses. What I can say is that we are coordinating with law enforcement, whether it's the sheriff's, MPD, and other local municipal law enforcement groups, and of course our private security, G4S Wackenhut. Collectively, we are in the process of continuing to work with them to make sure that the buses remain safe. You know, the issues that have come up, discussions, political, that maybe that's going on also, but as far as we're concerned, you know, law enforcement has been cooperating with us and they're responding when we have issues that arise that require their involvement. Oftentimes when something does happen on a bus that is not handled by our operator, we call our Wackenhut G4S security, and they handle the vast majority of those incidents that do occur. And so, you know, I think it's working well, the fact that it's getting media attention, you know, that's where that's at. But we're, you know, it continues to be a collaboration with various law enforcement groups.
Can you give us a sense of the trend lines as well as what's the, you know, incidents per bus hour, incidents per 1,000 riders? Because my sense is this has been vastly overblown, that the general public has been given the impression that, you know, every single bus is a war zone at every time of the day or night, and that's just not true.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, because true, it doesn't happen very often. We have seen incidents in the media lately. Those are rare exceptions. I mean, they do happen, and it's very unfortunate when something is escalated to those levels. But for the most part, you know, I don't have statistic on how many incidents per 1,000 hours. You know, I could perhaps provide that next month, but I can say it's minimal. So, but when it does happen, you know, we need to make sure that we're responding appropriately and that we have the support, and that is basically happening. So,
okay. Any questions from anybody? Any updates on the new services that?
Well, sure. Yeah, I can actually. I don't know if anyone in this room has copies of these, but I'll distribute. This is a newsletter that we have on all of our buses currently. I think I should have more than enough. And this brochure is basically a summary of all of the upcoming changes that we're going to be experiencing effective January 29th. And there are maps in here that describe how the new service is going to change. And when I say new service, we're looking at not just three new Metro Express bus routes, but we're also talking about some associated realignments and route names that have kind of come along in this whole introduction of the new service. So the system is, for the most part, intact as we know it today in 2011. However, there are some significant changes, such as somebody who's accustomed to taking Route 18. The Route 18 will no longer be identified as the Route 18. It will be either the blue line or the 23. Further on the western edge of the 18 will be the Route 56 traveling on Greenfield Avenue, or the Route 54 is taking over a portion of the Route 18. So that route in and of itself is undergoing some pretty significant changes, for one example. So this document provides an overview. We also have on specific directed bus routes other brochures, especially like in the Route 18, the 11, the 15, 23. Some of these major routes where we're going to be seeing changes, we're targeting additional flyers that we're passing out to all of our passengers, and we are also beginning to post more temporary signage at bus stops, at individual bus stops. So, and those are continuing to come up. So I don't know if any of you are taking transit or seeing these signs popping up throughout the system, but in the next week or two, more and more of those signs will be available. Our goal is to, you know, use all avenues possible to try and alert people that there's changes coming. And, you know, people are seeing it because we are starting to get phone calls, you know, picking up, just explaining the changes. And, you know, so there will be more to come. But this is kind of a nice overview. If anyone has any questions on any of these changes, I'd be happy to.
Sure. Do you happen to know what the scheduled travel time on this Green Line, say from downtown to the airport, is anticipated to be?
It's not downtown airport. Maybe it's going to be 35 minutes in that neighborhood. It's not the idea of express service. As much as we would like to really, you know, push it through and make it like a freeway flyer express, that's not possible to increase the speeds that much, because we are still trying to balance the new service with the needs of the community and not requiring people to walk too much additional. You know, there are plenty of cases and situations along these express lines that where people will be inconvenienced in that they're going to need to walk an additional block to get to a bus stop. So the idea is express, because we're pulling out stops, they're less frequent than what they are on a regular route. However, you know, it's kind of a balance, and this first few months we're going to kind of see how this works out, and you know, favorably for some. If it's not as favorable for others, well, you know, these are things that we're all reviewing to see how can we tweak this to be, you know, really the best of both worlds for everyone, if that's possible.
How does that 35 minutes compare with the current routing?
It's a few minutes, so we're not shaving off that many minutes. You know, unfortunately, so it's all part of that balance.
Okay, questions?
Yep. Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Last time this came up in front of this committee, I know we the city engineer was here at the time, and both he and I both expressed the desire that perhaps there's things the city could be doing, especially for this airport route, to reduce that travel time. And therefore, you know, make it more attractive for downtown people to use that to get to and from the airport. Have you met with the city at all to discuss things that the city perhaps could be doing to assist you in this effort to reduce those travel times?
No, I personally have not met with anyone from the city on this, and I'm not sure that we have any active plans moving forward in that direction yet.
Well, it just seems to me that if you're going to make an express, and I understand about service, and mm-hmm. you certainly don't want to eliminate too many stops, so I'm not proposing that, but perhaps there's signalization, lane striping, parking restrictions, whatever, but I still think that that's an effort that should be undertaken to help reduce that time.
Was signal preemption considered at all?
Well, traditionally, when you have an express line, signal preemption is an element. In the case of this project, we did not, unfortunately, have the time to prepare for that piece. what happened with our, with this budget process was that this was a relatively last-minute announcement that we could even apply for these funds for the express service. So, you know, the timing just didn't allow itself, it didn't lend itself to allow us to, you know, incorporate something like that, that type of coordination. You know, that's not to say that we are not open to exploring that with the city. I think that that type of meeting in the future is something we would be interested in looking into if it's going to mean better, faster service for our customers.
Technically speaking, are our signal systems designed for signal preemption and all you need is to add the triggering device on the vehicle, or is that a major retrofit of the
Now I'm talking from my history, and perhaps Mike has a lot more updated, but a lot of our signals do have the, on the major streets, do have the Opticon system in place
for emergency
vehicle. I don't know if that can be adopted to transit, though.
I don't think it can easily be adopted,
yeah,
as you asked, because it is set up for emergency vehicles.
I see.
But there are other systems out there, Alderman, that I'm aware of that cities or municipalities do work with transit agencies to do this type of signal preemption.
It's more direct than that, because we did have signal preemption, Dave, correct, back when the MetroLink?
You're talking on Fond du Lac Avenue?
Oh,
Fond du Lac,
yeah,
Avenue?
Right.
I don't believe so. I don't recall that.
I think they were going that direction. I don't, but we never, it never became about. And
is that in the industry deemed to be a worthwhile investment in terms of travel time savings, or does it not amount to that much in the end?
You know, I'd have to pull up some studies on it. I definitely know that it is an integral element in speeding things up, and it depends on your city. It depends on your, you know, your connections, I'm sure. And again, if you are interested, the city's interested in exploring this as an added, you know, element to the system, I think then we need to probably look into it further. We need to do a little bit more research to answer those questions.
Okay. Anything else for anybody on the new services?
When is the new express down Oakland Avenue taking, is that?
It's the 29th of January.
Okay.
Yes, all of the changes that are identified here. It's a Sunday.
Okay, well, that's pretty much the sum and substance of what I had to talk about. Anybody else have any? We have some issues outstanding. We have the valet parking ordinance. Has anyone given any further thought to that, or how do we want to proceed, Richard?
Richard Withers, Legislative Reference Bureau. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been in conversation with Captain Basting of the 1st District, and it looks like we're targeting a meeting date for valets, services, and persons interested in discussing potential regulation and enforcement issues on Friday morning, the 27th of January. That would give us enough time to, I think, pull some information together. In order to report back to the next meeting of the Transportation Review Board.
Okay, good. Any issues on the taxi cab front? Everything's just fine.
That's right. we were just busy for the New Year, that's all, you know.
If we managed.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, there were a couple of other updates, two of which that I wanted to mention about taxicabs. There is litigation currently against the city involving the cap that we place on the number of taxicab permits, and discovery is going forward in that matter. Although it's litigation in progress, I can probably at the next meeting or thereafter present an update of the issues that are involved that are public and don't require the concerns about the fact that the litigation is going forward. It, related to that, some of the information that has been provided to the plaintiffs in that case involves legislation that the city is seeking at the request of Alderman Witkowski and a resolution that was adopted 2 years ago, seeking permission by the state to enter into what is sometimes referred to as a medallion process. Some cities have used that issuance of a medallion or similar type of permit at market value for cab use in order to raise significant revenues. In Boston, for instance, the medallions were being issued at a market rate of about $380,000 each. Several years ago, it helped to fund their new convention center. The issue for us, to oversimplify it a bit, is that we can only issue a permit based on our actual costs related to the permit. And so there is some activity occurring at the state level, and we should be able to have an update on that by the next meeting as well, because the session is nearing an end.
And aren't there some other legislative initiatives that have been initiated?
Related to taxi cab?
No.
I'm not aware of them, but I'll investigate. I'll speak with Ms. Wood and check on the status of any other items like that.
Okay, very good. Is there anything else?
Just a couple of things. I just wanted to let the committee know that there has been a group of people from the Bike Federation and the city, as well as some other entities, that have gotten together to look at creating a linkage of bike systems throughout downtown at key employment locations, where there's a really great example here in Wisconsin in Madison, where there are bike systems throughout Madison where you can be part of a membership where you pay a monthly fee and you can use the bicycles as you see fit, and they just have to be returned to the racks and they're maintained properly. And to take it even further, St. Louis has a bike station where you can actually park your bikes, and there's a shower system there and things like that. As you know, there's a very large bicycle contingency in Milwaukee that utilize their bicycles as well as public transportation, and we love the idea of perpetuating that, because clearly it's, you know, keeping our young professionals here and providing a service to students and people who really look at alternative modes of transportation. And so I just think maybe at some point we might want to get an update from that group. They're looking at best practices that are going on in other communities, because you do need an entity that could manage that and maintain the bicycles. Each rack system, I believe, costs about $30,000, and then you have to be somewhat methodical about where you're placing those. So I just think that would be good to keep us in the loop on that. And then the other thing, I just wanted to maybe recommend at some point that we bring Carrie Thomason from Transit Now, because we talked briefly about the state eliminating funding for CERTA, the Southeastern Regional Transportation Authority, so it's going away, I think, in 2 months. So there is this contingency of folks from Waukesha, Racine, and Milwaukee, Washington counties that are talking right now about creating a coalition and getting some potential funding from some foundations to create another transportation authority that would try to move forward on southeastern Wisconsin planning and transit.
Yeah, bring her in at the next meeting.
So I think that it would be good. I know that there is an application before the Bader Foundation to fund that initiative. So, and again, it's really an extension of what we're trying to do here
right in
Milwaukee. So I think that that would be important. And then I do just want to alert people that we are having problems getting funding for the trolley for this upcoming season. So we're working on it. Transit Express is trying to help us get naming sponsors. But, you know, all that money, other than a major contribution from the bid, we have to go out and raise privately. So we're, fingers crossed, we're working very hard to try to identify funding sources for that. But there's a probability, if we don't, because we lost another major funder, we just found out last week. So just I'll keep you apprised of how those initiatives are moving forward, but just want to let people know. So if people have concepts or ideas, the nice thing with being able to work with the charter service is we can actually provide naming rights for the trolley, and so we've got a little bit more latitude on that. So, but it's a little under $100,000 to run it for a very limited service. Sandra, I don't have to tell you how expensive transit is, and fortunately for us, Transit Express operates it at little to no profit. So
very
I should
good.
End it with good news, not bad.
We'd also discuss, Sandra and I, the issue about the maps on the bus stops, and I think if you and Per could get the, of course, if you can't get funding to run that trolley service, then it might be difficult to get funding to do map installations. But, you know, absent maps, the system is just not usable by unfamiliar occasional users. It's just totally unusable, basically. And, you know, if we can't, so perhaps if somebody could get a number of what it would cost to install and maintain maps. You're doing the changeover to the new service structure January 29th. It's perfect time to install maps in the some amount of the downtown facility. I don't know how far you want to go, but to try to get a handle on what that would cost.
Okay. And just before we go to that length where we actually install permanent maps on next to or in addition to the blades of the actual bus stop sign, I did have additional conversation with Dave about going forward with the PSA space on the Clear Channel shelters, which those, the two 11 by 17 panels, we will focus those maps to be more oriented along, here's downtown, here's a way to get to these destinations using public transportation. That'll be the focus. It's not, you know, splattered everywhere, but it's a start in that we can take advantage of the offer from Clear Channel to use that space at least at designated Clear Channel shelters. So it's maybe an interim step before we go in that direction of permanent signs. In the whole idea, I appreciate you're right. It's a cost, and it's not just an upfront cost of the materials, but it's also the maintenance and upkeep of those signs. So it's a big commitment, and we have to know that before we take on that commitment, that we're not only going to be funded initially, but that we can secure that we have the budget for this year after year after year for the additional resources it will require. I have it on my list to look into and be able to come up with some sort of an estimate for a future meeting. I don't know if I'll have it next
month. On the security issue, does the system produce an annual report, say for the county board, that actually identify the number of incidents, categories of incidents? You know, I mean, is there some report that's generated, or is this pretty much kept proprietary?
No, there are reports that are done daily. There's reports done monthly, and yes, of course, then you know we pull together statistics on an annual basis as well. Let me check into what report that would be if you're interested in making that available. I'm sure we could do that.
I'm interested. Apparently nobody else in the media is interested, because that would be the first place I'd go to in terms of evaluating, well, exactly how serious a problem is and what's the trend, instead of just plastering video. I understand video, everybody watches the video, they're horrified, oh, the buses are unsafe, we can never ride a bus again, right?
Yeah, I want to comment on that if I could, please.
Sure, Terry.
A lot of the problems with that is drivers get very belligerent with customers, and they start an incident right there. You can pull it off the videos, but the thing is, they won't tell people where they're going. They won't tell people where they can transfer. They look out the window, or they get argumentative, and I've seen it so many times, and I've actually stood up and taken the side of the passenger, and it's very offensive to see those little plastic things, too, those little security things by the, yes. You know, like, it's like going into a restaurant where they have that big...
Bulletproof glass.
Right, right. And why do you need that? If you're nice to people, they're nice back. But if you're going to meet them with an ugly attitude from the time they step... from the time they step on the bus, and excuse me, I have a cold, they're going to react the same way. And that's 90% of the problems I've seen on there. Then the security on there, a lot of them want to be bullies too. I've seen that also. And then you run into these incidents, and that's what makes this look ugly. It doesn't happen that often, any of it. I mean, it's pretty minuscule. It happens the most on the 30s because they're always running way late.
That's been my experience too.
Yeah.
I've in 35 years of riding.
And I've been riding it for...
I mean, maybe not daily. You ride daily. I mean, I have basically never seen a violent incident, ever.
I've never...
Swearing that goes on.
Swearing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a violent incident. I'm talking about...
foul language.
Right.
And, you know, rude behavior. But as far as fist fighting, blood drawing, stomping, kick, I have literally never seen that happen.
I've only seen it once. In 10 years of riding every day.
Right.
But like I said, the 30 constantly runs off schedule. You want to ask, why, where were you? And then the driver gets very ugly about it because they don't want to tell you. They won't want to tell you what's going on. A lot of times they'll pass up if they're running that late and scream out the door that, oh, wait, there's one right behind me.
Well, I was actually, just for the benefit of the committee, I mean, I was actually told by... a representative of the union that they are feeding these incidents to the media in order to influence the disposition of disciplinary actions that might be in progress relative to the drivers involved in those incidents. In other words, to create sort of a sympathy factor that these drivers are under siege all the time and how dare they be disciplined when they're the victim, basically. I mean, that's essentially the argument. And to bolster that, because I always wonder, how do they get all these? I mean, nobody's issuing a press release of there was an incident yesterday on the 80 bus, and we have great footage of a fist fight. I mean, nobody, how does that get into the hands? I was very curious about that, because knowing how the media works, they're just not out fishing for this, but they'll gladly take it if it's video and run with it, which they've done. And then there's a big hubbub, and talk radio takes over. Before you know it, the system is trashed, and anybody with a car and some discretionary, some choice in the matter of how they travel, is afraid to take the bus. So I would just thought I'd throw that out for the benefit of everyone. Okay. Well, I guess we have, there being no other...
Mr. Chair?
Richard, yes.
Well, with regard to the bike share program that
yes.
Beth mentioned, the city engineer and myself met with Mr. Withers. So Dick will be doing a little bit of more research for us, and maybe, I don't know if the next meeting is an appropriate time for you to give us a report on the bike share, because that is a very important component of the transportation system in the city of Milwaukee. This program, bike share program, is not necessarily for tourists. It's available to tourists, but it's mostly part of an integral downtown transportation system, an integral part of that. So that's the way we want to focus on it. So it's very appropriate, I think, that this committee be
yes.
briefed on okay. the bike share program, how it can be implemented. As Beth said, it's very expensive to get it implemented, and it's also expensive to get it operating. City of Madison really lucked out in that the Trek bike company paid 100% of the operation and the maintenance of it because it's sort of their little pet project. But we're looking at other cities like Minneapolis that have successful programs and how they're running them. And Dick's doing a little research for us.
And I would like to invite anyone who might have some suggestions or information to get in touch. I'll be looking at a comparison of some of the startup costs from city to city, the types of equipment and experience that they've had in maintenance, bicycle loss, those kinds of things, but also looking at creating some kind of a metric in order to evaluate okay, what are the pluses and minuses, both economically and otherwise, for this? So any suggestions would be appreciated. I will try to have at least a preliminary report of information available next time. Initially, it was discussed as just an internal report to the DPW, but I think there's plenty of good information out there now, and I think we could have a good idea in another month about what the possibilities might be. There's been a lot of good discussion already, especially in involving the business community in downtown and in the Milwaukee area, and so I think that there are some potential avenues to pursue.
Okay.
And one more thing, Mr. Sure. Chair. City engineer has contacted Representative John Oyman from the Department of Transportation, and he has agreed to come to the February meeting to discuss improvements at the intermodal station.
Right.
If we want to put that on the agenda, John has agreed to do
that.
That
too. All right. Good. Okay. Excellent. Well, that sounds like a good lineup of. Mm-hmm. All right. Then I think that is. Concludes our business for today. So there being no other business to come before us, we stand adjourned.